Thank you. Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all. Norm and I are very pleased that you'd be with us tonight, and we hope you enjoy the program and you find it worth your time. On a serious note, we'd like to say that regardless of your, you know, your political persuasions, this has not been a good weekend for our country. We're kind of in a partisan death spiral, and I think if prayer is in your life, I hope you join me and pray for our country, for civility and sanity in our public discourse.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to have a good show tonight, and on a happier note, we have a good crew lined up. We're going to be hearing from Jay Robinson. My friend Jay lives up there in Millinocket, the son of my former co-host Wiggy Robinson, who's going to talk to us tonight about mushrooms. And then we're also going to hook up with Rachel McManus, who was on our show last week, Norm. She's the lady that heads up the, make sure I get this right, it's the Schoodick Lake Bass Tournament.
Yes, I believe that's it.
And they had I just talked to her briefly a few minutes ago, and she said they had a great derby.
Oh, nice.
I mean, a great tournament.
Right.
And she's going to fill us in on that and tell us who the winners are and how it went. And tonight, of course, the man behind the controls in there, who's there every week, I call him, the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, Norm Plord.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome aboard. It's a nice evening.
It is a nice evening. Mm. And we have a toll-free statewide number if you'd like to be on our show tonight. And do you know what that number is, Norm? Did you ever learn that?
Well, let me see if I can remember. Yeah. It's
1-800-966-1039.
Oh, 1-800-966.
Oh, 966. Thank
you. 966-1039. I'd be having somebody call Bulgaria or something.
There you go. Where. Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to us tonight, as you do every week, on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 and 103.9 in Bangor. And we're also streaming worldwide. We have listeners who are listening via streaming online in places all over the country and indeed the world. So if you have friends who don't live within our broadcast pattern, and they want to listen, they can do it online by going to WVOM-FM. And we'd love to have you join us if you're in a faraway place. Let's see, a couple other things. Again, our guests are going to be Jay Robinson, who will be talking to us on phone by Millinocket, and then we'll hook up with Rachel McManus, who's the director of the Schoodick Lake Bass Fishing Tournament, which took place today up in at Schoodick Lake. What a beautiful day for bass tournament, Norm, huh?
It's an excellent day.
Yeah, a warm one, but nice.
Need an umbrella to keep.
Yeah, keep the sun off. So we'll be talking to them. Right now, I want to remind you that this program is sponsored every week in part by my favorite publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal. And the July issue is still on the newsstand right now. You can pick one up if you don't have a subscription. There's a great story in there about the hex hatch, which may still be happening on some remote trout ponds. And if you would like to get a subscription to the journal, you may do so by calling our office and ask for Alicia. And she can give you help you purchase the subscription at 732-4880. We'd like to give it to you, but we can't because we have to keep the doors open. 732-4880 is Alicia's number. And be sure to check out our new digital magazine subscriptions as well. You can get a digital version of our magazine for $15 a year. Okay, let's see. Outdoor Digest time, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Again, remind you, the Any Deer application process, some people refer to it as the DOE permit, are now available. You can apply online. You'll get no mailings from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. You have to do it online. And the application period is open, and it will be until, I have that right here. It closes, I think, on midnight August 15th. So you still got plenty of time. It's always a good idea to get it done early, then you won't forget it. They're open now for permits. They're going to be issuing 128,000 DOE permits this year. That's a large number. That's an increase of 20,000 over last year. So there are plenty of DOE permits available, and of course there's no charge for you to apply. If you do receive a permit, then there's a $12 charge plus a $2 agency fee. So it'll cost you $14 to buy an Any Deer permit. And let's see what else. Okay. A couple of other things. An interesting report from the fisheries biologist up in Enfield on Schoodick Lake. Speaking of the Derby or the tournament, Schoodick Lake has had an interesting situation where they've had Atlantic salmon being found in the lake, which purportedly are making their way up through the Penobscot River and through some of the waterways actually into the lake. And according to Kevin Dunham, who's the regional fisheries biologist, they have been clipping some of the landlocks, and also doing what they call a punch through the adipose fin of the Atlantic salmon. So that's so they can differentiate them. Somebody raised the question, Norm, of whether they're actually breeding. I guess there's a possibility that the Atlantics in the lake could conceivably...
Yeah, they can cross, huh?
Yeah, it could conceivably breed, but DNA-wise, which I found interesting, DNA-wise, you can't tell the difference between Atlantic salmon and a landlock. They have the same DNA.
Wow.
Which I think is kind of interesting.
It can make life interesting if you get written up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you're not supposed to catch an Atlantic salmon. It's illegal. It's a violation of federal law. And let's see what else. Also want to remind you that we're still looking around for occasional guest host on Maine Outdoors. If you like the outdoors, you know a little bit about fishing and hunting, and you like to talk about it, and you're not afraid of microphones, we'd love to have you consider joining us as occasional guest host on Maine Outdoors. If you're interested, give me a jingle. Don't call me now because I'm busy, but call me anytime at 745-3133. That's 745-3133. Or you can email me at vpaulr@tds.net. On that note, I think it's time that we get the orchestra in here. There we go. My wife says I'm a pretty good dancer, but I'm not much on singing. Look, it's nice to have you here for our fishing report. We're going to hook up with, you're going to give Rachel a call, right?
She's with you.
Oh, are you there, Rachel?
I am. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah. You know, we're getting to be old friends. You were with us last week, right?
I was.
Yeah. Hey, how did things go with the, you had a big bass tournament today at Schoodick Lake up there in Lakeview. How did it go?
It went well. We had 35 boats this year, which was one or two more than last year. So we're growing every year, and we're excited for that.
Great. And you had a good day for it.
We definitely did. It was a hot one out there for sure.
I bet. Did you fish?
I did.
How'd you make out?
Oh, it was a hard day of fishing. The lake is a little bit higher than normal.
Yeah.
And the water temps are really high this year, and bass are not a huge fan of the high water temps.
No.
So we did catch our limit, which is 5 fish, but I think we only weighed in at like 7-point-something pounds.
Yeah.
So we didn't do that great, but we had other people that did.
Good. So who won first place?
Let me pull this up here. So okay. First play was Dave Cousins and Jamie Roy, and they had 16.69 pounds.
Wow.
That, like I said, that was a total of 5 fish.
Wow, 16 pounds. That's a good bunch of bass. And where are they from, Dave and Danny?
I'm actually not sure. I believe they were from Southern Maine.
Okay. And how much cash did they take home?
They won $2,000.
Wow. Okay. Now, were there any second or third place winners?
Yes. We had second place weighing in at 16.46 pounds, and that was Tyler Williams and Ethan Thomas. And then third place, and these are last names, so I apologize, was McKenna and Smith weighing in at 16.13 pounds.
So, okay. So then the other, and what did what did the second place winner receive for purse?
I'm actually not 100% sure. I believe it was around $700.
Okay. And a little less for third place, obviously, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand you also had a contest for the biggest fish. Who won that?
So our first place winners also actually won Lunker.
Oh, they got the Lunker too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got a little extra cash for the Lunker, right?
They did.
Wow. And how much did the Lunker weigh, do you know, roughly?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I believe it was around 3.96.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good smallmouth bass, yeah. And you had a celebrity in your midst, you know, Tyler Williams. You know who he is, right?
I do know who he is.
Yeah. He's working his way up in the national bass circuit. And
he came and fished our tournament last year and this year, and we gave him, or he gave us rather, some fishing rods to give away.
Oh, good.
And so we are very appreciative of that.
Oh, wonderful. And did you have many folks just up there to kind of gawk around and see what's going on?
Oh, we definitely do. Every year at the weigh-in, we definitely draw a crowd.
Yeah, I bet. That's great. Well, I'm glad you had a good tournament, and you raised some money for the Penobscot County Conservation Association as well, right?
So we are raising money for two charities, but the organization that runs the tournament is Penobscot County Conservation Association.
Yep.
So the charities that we were raising money for are the Maine Veterans Project based in Bangor. They help combat veteran suicide and help make sure that veterans have enough means to heat their homes and all of that kind of stuff. And then our second charity was the Pencos Valley Middle School Outing Club, which is here in Milo. And they work on getting kids involved in the outdoors through camping and hiking and snowshoeing and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's a great cause. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What did you catch your bass on?
What did we catch our bass on?
Yeah,
Sankos.
Mostly what?
Mostly Sankos, the plastic worms.
Oh, the plastic worms, yeah. Well, good.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you had a very successful tournament. That's great.
We definitely did.
Yeah. Now, before we leave you, now you also had a big cornhole tournament at Bissell's Brewery there in Milo, right? On Saturday?
We did.
How'd that go?
Yeah. Also very well. We raised about $700 at that event, and that's continuing to grow every year. That this year was only our third year doing the cornhole tournament. Well, it's our sixth year doing the bass tournament.
Yeah.
So was
there a first place winner in the cornhole tournament?
Yes, and the first place winners for the cornhole tournament got $500.
Wow. Do you know who they were?
Oh, boy. You're really quizzing me, aren't you? It's been a long weekend. I'm tired. Yeah, I don't remember these things.
Well, you've had a long day. You did very well for somebody who spent the whole day out on the heat and the water. You did great. All right. Well, that's good. All in all, it sounds like a great weekend up Milo. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get up. In fact, you know what? For my birthday, I was given a whole new set of the cornhole bags, and they got me the competition type that you talked about that have the,
yes,
have the grip on one side. And we did try them out. We didn't get up to Bissell's, but we did try them out. And my problem is, do you know anything about cornhole? Do you ever play it?
I play a little bit. I'm not very good, but I play.
Yeah. Well, the problem I had is I can't get the things to fall on the right side. On one side, they're smooth. One side, they got these little grippers to set it, because a lot of times the bag will slip beyond the hole and go off the board. And I couldn't get those things to land on the right side. So there's got to be some technique. I'll have to study the book, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, thanks a lot for the report, Rachel. We really appreciate it. Now, you'll be heading back up to God's country, up in St. John Valley pretty soon, right?
I will, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I bet the potato blossoms are in full bloom, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the drive up there on that beautifully paved highway. Wow, what a nice job they did on that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate the report. Now, you get some rest tonight, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much. And we will be posting all of our winners and weights and everything for the cornhole tournament and the bass tournament on our social media. So if you're interested in finding all of that stuff, you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay. I'll fetch that and publish it in the Northwood Sporting Journal, okay?
All right.
All
right. Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Have a good day, huh?
Thank you. Yep. You too.
Bye-bye. All right. That sounds like they had a wonderful time up there at the Schoodick Lake Annual Bass Fishing Tournament.
I think she said last week that her day would begin at 4 o'clock, I think it was.
Yeah, she's obviously worn out. It was nice of her to even participate. Some people would have said, no, I'm too tired. But we appreciate her taking the time to be with us. Okay, if you joined us late here on Maine Outdoors, Norm and I are holding down the fort. We have no co-host tonight, but we do have a number, and we do urge you to participate. If you want to be on our show tonight, Norm finally has learned the number, and the number is
1-800-966-1039.
All right, you get a raise. That was done very well.
I was sweating bullets there for a moment.
I know you were, yeah. Anyway, if you want to be on our show, that's the number. And we welcome you to call at any time. We're going to be talking a few minutes to Jay Robinson, who's a guide up in Millinocket, the type of guide who works, a real true working guide. He doesn't just have a patch on his jacket like me. He works. And he has he's a wonderful upland guide. And he also is a mushroom expert. And his dad used to teach me a little bit about mushrooms. And even though Wiggy gave him the blessing, I'd bring them home. And Diane said, nope. I'm not going to cook them. I don't dare to. But anyway, we're going to check that out when we talk to Jay Robinson. Right now, though, before we go to the first break, we have an outdoor trivia question, which is good for one of my outdoor watercolor prints worth about $50. And you'll have your choice of a moose, a deer, or a coyote. And let's see. The question is... Why don't you want to do the question, Norm?
Sure.
All right. What's the question, Norm?
The question is, which is the largest North American woodpecker?
Did you know the answer?
Yes.
Don't tell us.
Yes.
You knew the answer.
Yes, I've seen a number of them over the years.
All right. So if you have the answer to that, we'll give you one of my watercolor prints, your choice, animal of your choice. And the number is 1-800-966-1039. Cogitate. Ponder that. And we'll be right back. And before we take our trivia questions, we want to again congratulate the winners of the Schoodick Lake Bass Tournament. Dave Cousins and Danny Roy picked up a $2,000 purse. That's not too shabby, huh, Norm?
Not bad at all. In fact, and the second place, there's one guy in the second place that we know quite well, Thomas.
Oh, is he in there too?
Yeah, I believe he was the one. He was one in the.
Oh, I didn't recognize that. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
Evan Thomas.
Oh, Kevin. Okay, good for him.
Evan.
Yeah, good for him. All right, do we have a caller lined up?
We do.
Okay, good evening, caller. We're looking for an answer to a trivia question. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Linda from Heartland.
Hi,
and
Linda.
I believe my answer will be Pileated Woodpecker.
The Pileated Woodpecker. That is the correct answer. Now, how did you get that? Did you Google it?
Oh, no. We probably have a pair that's probably nesting close to our house.
Oh, I see.
And you can hear them, but I can't really see them, but I can hear them.
Yeah, they make a lot of noise. Yeah. Congratulations. That is the correct answer, the Pileated Woodpecker. And you're calling us from Heartland?
Correct.
Yeah, I had a nice day over there today, I bet, huh?
Yes, a little warm, but hey, it's summer.
Yeah, it was a little hot in the sun, but if you hunker down in the shade, it was a little breeze out of the north today. It was pretty nice where I live down on the lake. Anyway, congratulations to you, and you're going to win one of my outdoor watercolor prints worth about $50 on nice archival
Thank
paper,
you.
And you can have your choice. Let's see, I have two moose, one moose at sunrise, another moose at sunset, and I also have a nice deer painting or a coyote. Nobody ever asked for the coyotes. It's probably one of my better paintings. But anyway, what would you like? What's your choice?
I'll try the coyote.
You want to take? All right, good for you. That's good. I think you'll be the only person who's won a print who's asked for a coyote. I'll make sure you get it, and I hope you like it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Linda, thanks for listening. And if you anything else on your mind tonight?
No, I don't believe so, but I enjoy listening to the program.
Okay, well, we enjoy having you listen as well. We appreciate the listenership. If you'll stay on the line, Linda, Norm is going to get your address so I can mail that print to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, stay on the line. He'll be right with you as soon as he gets a chance, all right?
All right. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thanks a lot. Okay, that's right. The largest North American woodpecker is the pileated woodpecker. And that was a fast answer. Sometimes it takes a while to get an answer, but that was a quick one. And we appreciate her playing the game, and we're looking forward to sending her out one of my watercolor prints. Okay, we're going to, as soon as Norm makes the hookup, we're going to talk to Jay Robinson. For those of you who may not, Jay is the son of the late Wiggy Robinson, who was a close friend of mine and a co-host on this show for many, many years. We had a lot of good times together. Wiggy and I fished a number of times together, did a lot of bird hunting together, and really, really enjoyed his company all those years. And Jay's followed in his father's footsteps, and he does some upland bird guiding, and he also learned, I think he probably learned his mushroom hunting tricks from his late dad, I would imagine. Wiggy knew a lot about mushroom gathering, and in fact, I think a few years ago, Jay gave me a bunch of chanterelles, and I ate too many. And he said, well, you're not supposed to eat that many. You're supposed to just ever have a few. Is Jay there?
Not yet.
Okay. You have his number there, right?
I do.
Okay. We're going to get hooked up with Jay here in just a minute. A couple of program notes. Excuse me. A couple of program notes. Yeah, why don't we do that? It's about time to take it. Let's take a break, and after that, we'll hook up with Jay Robinson and talk about mushrooms. You stay with us here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we are back with Maine Outdoors, and we're going to be hooking up with Jay Robinson just as soon as we get him on the hook here, and we're going to talk a little bit about gathering those wild mushrooms. And he's a fungus expert here. We're going to get him on the line. Is he there, Norm? Are you there, Jay? Hi, Jay.
How are we doing, Paul?
We're doing well. How about yourself?
No. Good, good. Yeah.
Nice to have you on board. It's been a while since we've had you on Maine Outdoors.
Yes, it has. Sure yeah. has. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy to be with you tonight.
Well, nice to have you on board. That was a wonderful service you held for your mother a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I'm sure she would have been very proud of her sons and daughters. Did a wonderful job. You could feel the love. It was a good service.
It was great, yeah. It was very good.
Yeah. We got you on board because we're going to talk, maybe we'll talk a little bit about mushrooms, and then if we have time, maybe we'll talk fishing a little bit. How's that sound?
Yeah. Sounds great, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me.
Want me to tell you what I've been doing?
You should go say again?
Want me to tell you what I've been doing now?
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Every morning I take a walk with my dog. You know, I got some property out back here and some trails, so get a little exercise, you know, me and my dog. So, I've been seeing some chanterelles, and I think it's going to be a very good year for them this year. You know, all that rain and everything, so I've had my first feed of chanterelles. So,
I thought it was too early, not too early for those, huh?
No, right around the 4th of July, I usually start finding them.
Oh, I thought they were a fall mushroom.
No, chanterelles, no, right now.
Yeah.
They are pretty good.
Well, good for you. You've already started. Now let's back up a little bit. Now, mushroom gathering is tricky. I know you gotta be sure you get the right mushroom, or you can get a little bit of gastrointestinal discomfort, so to speak. Yeah. So how did you learn about mushrooms? Did Wiggy teach you?
Actually, I gotta back you up there. I did a lot of teaching to him.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I was a pretty curious kid growing up. So
yeah.
Spent some time in the woods, and I'd bring these mushrooms back, and I'd look in the books and check them out. And there was a professor down to University of Maine. I think his name was John Hakola.
Yeah.
His dad. So I was in contact with him, and he said, send some down and put them in a box, and I'll identify them for you. So I did that for 2 or 3 times, and, you know, he told me what they were, so it's pretty safe eating some. So one thing led to another, and, you know, there's probably a dozen or so mushrooms out there that I'm comfortable with picking.
You're talking about in Maine, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The chanterelles, there's 2 or 3 different kinds of chanterelles, and the oyster mushrooms, and the shaggy mange, you know, they come up in the fall. So, yeah, I like the mushrooms, so... My father, I remember one time, he picked the wrong kind of mushroom, and it was quite similar to a chanterelle. They called it the false chanterelle.
Uh-oh. And, those are bad news.
Yeah, so he ate a few of them, and he had the diarrhea and all the headaches and stuff. So he learned his lesson on that one. Yeah. But
they won't kill you, but they make you very uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah. So how do you tell the difference between a genuine chanterelle and a false chanterelle?
Well, there again, you want to get your book out and talk to other people that are familiar with it. And I want to stress that you don't want to just go out and think you have the right thing and eat it. Because, you might get in trouble. There's some mushrooms out there that will tell you that. That death cap is one. It looked a lot like the mushroom that you buy in the store. So I really want to stress that, if you're going out and cooking mushrooms and think you know what you got, talk to some other people or take a picture of it and put it online and things like that. But you want to be really careful if you're picking mushrooms. Yeah.
Jay, I bought a really nice mushroom book, all kinds of color photos. And even the color photos, sometimes you look at the photo and you look at the real mushroom, and they don't look exactly alike, and it makes you nervous. So
people contact me quite a bit, and they'll pick a mushroom and take a picture of it and put it online, and I'm usually pretty confident with the mushrooms that I know quite well, chanterelles, stuff like that. So
if I sent you a photo of one, if I texted you a photo, you could pretty well tell me whether it was safe or not, you think?
Pretty much, yeah. If I recognize the mushroom, most of them are pretty common. So, yeah, you could do that. Yeah.
Okay. That really bad one, the nasty fatal one, the death cap, yeah. Does that grow in Maine?
Yes, it does, Paul, yeah. You'll find more of them along probably about August and into the fall. And you want to be careful with them.
Yeah.
They're all white, and they have, like, when you pull them out of the ground, there's like a bulb on the bottom, and we call a veil around the cap, going up the stem. But they say they smell a little like bleach. So, if you pick this and put it up to your nose, and it smells like bleach, and you probably got an Amanita, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All that whole family of Amanitas. There's the death cap and
the Amanita. Amanita has a name that sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Yeah. What is your favorite? Is it the chanterelle?
Well, I like chanterelles, but I really like the shaggy mans that come up in the fall. They're a white mushroom, and if you pick them and you have to process them right off, or they'll turn black on you. So they call them inky caps or shaggy mans.
Yeah.
They'll go in what they call troops of mushrooms on lawns and along the highway and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're really good. I like them. And I like the horn of plenty, they call it, too. It's called the black trumpet or the horn of plenty, and that's a chanterelle.
Are those kind of rare to find?
Not really. If you're out in the woods and picking these mushrooms, most generally they'll grow in that same area every year. So kind of take note of that and go back to that area every year. If we have a wet spell, and you're most likely going to find them. So I got some woods out back of my house here, and I just about know where I can go and find chanterelles and stuff like that.
So, yeah. My favorite, Jay, the ones I know are safe, I don't think I can screw it up too badly, but are the oyster mushrooms that grow on the trees.
Yeah.
I like those a lot, and I can't make a mistake with those, right?
No. Not usually, no. Do you know the honeycats that grow on the stump? Stump mushrooms and honeycats?
Yeah.
Those are good, too.
And there's... There's nothing you can mess up too bad with those, right?
Well, there again, if you don't know what you're picking, you want to be really careful.
Yeah.
Most people that go and pick these mushrooms, they kind of know, they'll stick to what they know the best. But an amateur person that goes out there and picks mushrooms, they want to be really careful. just don't go out and pick them and think you have the right thing and go home and eat them, because you might be getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Ask somebody that knows, so that helps, yeah.
Have you ever messed up and eaten the wrong mushroom?
No, I haven't.
You're
not
kidding.
Not yet. I think I'm going to eat. There's a mushroom out there they call the alcohol inky, and that is in the same family as the inky cat. But if you eat this particular mushroom, it looks a lot like the Caprinus-type mushroom. If you drink any alcohol before or after, it'll give you a wicked, wicked bad headache.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Alcohol inky. You Google that and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah. So which mushroom is it you're not supposed to have alcohol with?
They call it the alcohol inky. If you Google that, look online, you'll see just what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know the Latin name for it. I'm not up on all the Latin names.
Do you, I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, this is going way back, you gave me a bunch of freshly picked chanterelles.
Yeah, I knew that. I brought it down. We were on the radio show to get you and I, and had a great big bag of them. So,
and
yeah.
I pigged out on them, to be totally honest. And I had some gastrointestinal discomfort, and that's being charitable. You lectured me. You said, Paul, you're just not supposed to eat the whole basket. You just eat a couple.
No.
So you got to be, I mean,
on that?
You what?
Did Diane get back on here on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, she had no problem. She didn't eat as many as I did, but I liked them so much. I love mushrooms of all kinds. I love the portobellos, you know, that you buy in the store. So how do you prepare your mushrooms? Do you have any particular recipe? Do you freeze them? Do you cook them with venison? What do you do with them?
Basically, I just fry them. I'll pick up chanterelle. If they're a good-sized chanterelle, I'll just cut it up a little bit and put it in some olive oil and fry them in the frying pan, and they're good that way. Yeah. With some trout or any kind of wild game.
Oh, yeah. Little grouse breast or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, are you comfortable cooking these chanterelles, Paul? Do you think you're comfortable with knowing and identifying them?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think the chanterelles and the oyster mushrooms are about the only ones that I know. One thing I wonder about...
Have you seen these Caprinus?
I've seen them in the book, but I don't feel confident. When I look at the picture and I look at the real thing, I'm not sure they're the right ones, What about, Jay, what about these little white jobbies that grow on lawns? Are those edible? What are those called?
Call them meadow mushrooms. They have brown gills on the underneath, button mushrooms. Those are good mushrooms, really good. But they look like some of the other mushrooms that aren't good out there. So
they do.
Just make sure you have the right thing. Yeah.
There's a risk there.
Pink bottoms too.
So your favorite three would be the chanterelles. The shaggy mane. What's the third one?
This black trumpet, they call it. They call it the horn of plenty of the black trumpet.
Yeah.
It's in the chanterelle family. It grows kind of like a trumpet, and they're related to the golden chanterelle.
Oh, I see. I think Norm wants me to take a short commercial break here. Can you stay with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as my phone is charged up here.
All right.
Hang in there.
Okay, going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Jay Robinson. Again, if you want to call in and ask Jay a question about mushrooms, you can do so. And what's the number, Norm?
1-800-966-1039.
And we want to remind you, too, that this program is sponsored and has been for many years by General Appliance in Brewer, a place to go for all of your appliance needs. They have gas refrigerators, gas lights, gas freezers, gas ranges, and a complete line of compost toilets.
And ride the wave, baby.
Ride the wave, baby. Anyway, General Appliance and Brewer, they are under new ownership. Gary Coleman is the honcho over there, and he moved around the corner to 103 Center Street, but they're right down the road from where they were when Al Elkin was running the show. 103 Center Street in Brewer. The telephone number there is 989 3714. You might want to jot that down. And look, if you're in the market for any type of either a new or used gas or electric, they sell electric as well. If you're looking for a good buy, a good price on a reliable product, they're the people to do business with. General Appliance in Brewer. Gary Coleman has been doing the service work for General Appliance for 36 years. Nothing has changed. They stand behind everything they sell and they service it. So give them a call, 993714, or drop in. They're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they're great folks to talk with, and they do have a great inventory there. So be sure and check them out. We patronize them as we do. General Appliance in Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs. We have a caller standing by who may have a question for Jay. Are you there, caller? Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Is there a particular guide that you suggest for mushrooms that's better than the rest?
Are you there, Jay?
What did he say? I didn't quite hear it, Paul.
Okay, he wants to know if there's any favorite mushroom guide that you have, something a favorite book on mushrooms that you'd prefer?
Yes. Audubon Society puts out a good book, like a pocket guide. You put it in your pocket. Look online, and I think you can find that Audubon Society book.
Okay, say that again slowly, would you? What is that book?
Audubon, like James Audubon. A-U-D-Audubon. A-U-D-O-B-O-N.
So is it Audubon Mushroom Book, or what is it? What's the rest?
Audubon Society, the Audubon Society. You've heard of that before.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Okay.
That's the name of the book?
Yeah. Just put it on your Amazon there, and I think you'll find
it. Oh, yeah. Audubon. Yeah.
There's several books. Okay. University of Maine put out a little guide to put.
Yeah,
2 years back, and I still have a few of those. Copies.
Yeah, I have one of those. Those are pretty good.
Yeah. That's real good.
Yeah. Is the caller still there, Norm, or did we lost him, right? Okay. Sorry for that. We apparently disconnected, or you disconnected, and I hope we get the answer, the caller. The book is called, is put out by the Audubon Society. You can find it on Amazon. One of the questions I want to pursue with you, Jay, is somebody who's new at mushrooming. Talk a little bit about the best time of year and what kind of terrain to be looking for your mushrooms in, okay?
Yeah, well, I'll try. right now, you're going to find chanterelles. You might find what they call a lobster mushroom. It's like a red, meaty type mushroom. There's other kinds of mushrooms out there that, you know, they're edible, but they're not really that great. And in the fall, of course, you're going to find the shaggy manes and the inky cat and stuff like that. Yeah. I think I like the fall the best of all, because then you can find the oyster mushrooms and the trees and the stump mushrooms, they call them. Anyway, yeah.
So you're talking about like October, late September?
September and October, yeah.
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 And
can I tell you about the fishing?
We'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's finish up on mushrooms here.
Okay.
So if you go in the woods like in late September, and should you be in the hard woods, or should you be in the fir thickets around swamps? Where do you go?
For the shaggy manes, you're going to find them on lawns or along the interstate, some places. Waste places, the honey caps, you can find them on the stumps, on usually hardwood stumps. The chanterelles are usually found in mixed conifers, like a wet, mossy area.
Yeah.
And yeah, hardwoods and softwoods, different. There's a lot of mushrooms out there, but there's just a few, you know, that I'd stick to.
Yeah.
Another one is, they call it the hedgehog mushroom. It has teeth instead of gills underneath. Yeah.
What color is that?
It has like a tannish top to it, and it stands probably 2 or 3 inches up.
Yeah.
And they're a really good mushroom. They call it, I think the Latin name is Dentinum repandum. We call it the toothed mushroom or the hedgehog mushroom. Those are good.
Yeah.
Nice mild taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna get back into that a little bit, I think, because I do some early fall hunting in September. Yeah. I'm gonna send you pictures for approval. Yeah. All right.
I looked up on Amazon, and if you go and search for the Audubon book on mushrooms,
yeah,
there's several different ones that you can get. Anywhere from $15 to $30.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah.
And the caller who called in, I hope you heard that. All right. I can tell you're itching to talk about your other passion, which is fishing. So you ready to switch gears?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's. I know you're a trout fishing fanatic, like I am. Tell us a little bit about. Have you done any trout fishing this season?
Well, you know, I have a favorite place that I like to go to, and I think you know where it is. It's a little secret that you got to walk into about 3 miles, and my dad and I always used to go there, and it's a real pretty place.
Yeah.
I've been in there a couple of times, not last week. Last week was just too hot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go with that hot weather stuff.
Yeah.
So I went, I think it was the last week of June, and the gray catch was just starting, and the mayfly hatch.
Oh, you're lucky you.
Yeah, we hit it a couple of good times, and a couple of friends of mine.
Yeah.
And right along about 8 o'clock in the evening until dark, and just after, we had no problem getting our limit.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I'm really fortunate that I'm able to still do these things, and I thank the guy up above.
You bet, yeah. Well, yeah, amen to that, brother. But you're just a young guy.
I got a birthday coming up this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, good for you.
Good enough, yeah.
And
you're going to be 69 this year, yeah?
You'll be what? You'll be a 61?
69, Paul.
No kidding.
Can you remember when you were 69?
Yeah, I can remember those days. Yeah. Seems like yesterday, yeah. So this favorite pond that you go to, I know where it is, and I know we won't say the name of it, there are two ways to go in there. There's the front way, what I call the front way, and the back way. Do you go in the back way or the front way?
I go in the back way now, Paul, and I bring my mountain bike half of the distance. It's a 3 mile hike.
Yeah,
and it's on an old logging road that they have abandoned, so it's really easy walking.
Oh, that's good.
You still got the 3 mile hike, and you come in on the other end of the pond. The north end of the pond, and I have a couple of canoes there, and I have a canoe over on the other small pond, and I have quite a few, actually, quite a few canoes on different ponds. Yeah. So
I remember Wiggy used to let me use those, but he gave me a proviso that there was no mud and no blood.
No mud, no blood.
He says, if I find any mud or blood, that's the last time you'll use that canoe. yeah. Well,
you know, it's still fun doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope I'm able to do that. The good Lord.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I was in that pond. Last time I was in there, I may have been with you. I'm not sure. But maybe it was with my son, Scotty, and there was the two attack loons in there that came in there and tried to swipe our trout. Are they still in there? Or did somebody get rid of are they still there, or did they die of natural causes?
I didn't see it. Well, actually, there's a couple of loons in there this year, and they didn't seem to bother us. I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago. We were in there fishing, and I said, you better get that trout in real quick, because that loon's going to come right over and take your trout. So sure enough, it did. And out went his line, zinging, and he held onto it. And he got it away from the loon, but that loon was diving underneath the canoe and just waiting for us to catch it. I think they train them down on the coast.
Oh, they do. Canoe. Yeah, they are audacious critters. And okay. Oh yeah, that he's Norm's holding up the other pond. Yeah, no, that's not the one we're talking about. Good guess though.
around the mountain, yeah. Our mountain, yeah. The park, and yeah. That area. Yeah.
Norm is guessing Celia, but that ain't it.
Celia is a good trout pond to fish. I have a couple of wall hangers.
Yeah, that was a good guess.
Wall, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One time I was in there with Slaughter, and two of those loons came after my. I had about a 12-inch trout on. It came after the trout, and I took a swing at it with a paddle. And Scotty said, "Dad, are you crazy? You're going to get arrested. The feds will put you in jail." Yeah, but they are. I've been on some other ponds, and these loons are really getting educated. They know how to get a free meal.
I think they feed them down on the coast or something when they winter down there.
It's almost like somebody's trained them how to get a freebie. Yeah. Yeah,
they don't bother me. They don't seem to bother me. You know, when I see a loon come around and looking for a free meal, I just stop fishing, and sooner or later that loon's going to wander off and it won't bother anymore. I just put my rod down and, you know, wait for him to take off.
Yeah, we went up north, up to the Dubuque area, and recently with my great-grandson and my son, and we hit a few drakes late in the evening, but it doesn't last very long, does it, the hatch?
No, not normally. Probably the drake hatch is over now with this hot weather.
Yeah.
You know, usually right around the 1st of July until the middle of July, it'll go on, but I'm hoping to get back out this week if it's not too hot. It doesn't look good, but I'd like to get out and fish at least a couple more times on the drake.
So. Well, let me ask you this. Sincere question is, I don't know the answer to it, but you would because of all your experience up there. But how long, Jay, does this drake hatch last on some of those ponds in Baxter? How long does that, is that good for like middle July or end of July or what, late in the evening?
There again, it depends on the weather. I'm sure with this hot weather, it won't last very long. But I've seen it last into the third week of July if the weather stays good and we get some rain. So.
Yeah,
you know how trout like that 58 to 62 degree.
So
if it gets any warmer than that, they're going to get down and you're gonna put the sinking line on and go to the spring holes if you know where they are.
Yeah. So you think you might have another week or two left for the drake hatch, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I had a gentleman call me here tonight, and he wants me to guide him in August. So I'll probably take him to some trout pond that I know where there's some spring holes and
put
some line to them. So I will have some fun at least. Yeah.
And I know what you're going to put on the end of that sinking line. If you're anything like your old man, it'll be
maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Yeah.
Right. Maple syrup.
Yeah.
Alvin's really special.
Yeah.
I have another nymph fly that we call the salamander. It's like a brown and purple chenille wrapped around number 10 hook.
That works
pretty good. Alvin, you know, put me under that.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
And I'll keep that fly right on all the time.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, then nothing's going to work.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Eastern green drake imitation? What do you use? A wolf, or what do you like?
I like the white wolf. Yeah, about a number 8, if you can get it. And put some of that gunk on it to make it float, and then just keep tossing that out there into the dock, and that's when the fishing's at best. We're on 8:30.
Oh yeah. And I found the other night I hit a few drakes on this pond I was at, and I put on a really large almost a garish Hornburg.
I
greased it up good, and it floated good, and they hit that like they loved it. Yeah.
When they're hungry, they take just about anything.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you present it the right way,
yeah.
That's when it's fun, not bull.
Yeah.
That's when it's fun, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, any other thoughts for, what if somebody wants to go into Baxter Park? Now, you know those ponds pretty well. Can you recommend, somebody's new to this area, they want to try trout fishing in Baxter Park, could you name a couple of ponds that you think might be good bets?
Well, you got the rocky ponds in around Kidney.
Yeah.
From the Kidney Pond, there's quite a few outlying ponds right around there, and there's Celia and Jackson and both the Rockies and the Beavers. And all those ponds have trout in them. Dacey Pond is another one. Kidney itself is a good pond. So there's quite a good selection of trout ponds to fish right there around Kidney and Dacey.
Yeah, that Jackson Pond used to be, I haven't fished that for years and years, but that used to be a pretty good bet. Is that still a pretty decent pond?
Yeah, it's pretty in there. I think it's a 2-mile hike.
Yeah, nice hike.
Yeah, I really like it. And I've been in there a couple times this year, and Didn't do good the first time. It was just a little too windy, but
yeah.
And the next time I had no problem. So I hope to get back in there right around September.
Yeah.
Celia is another good one, yeah, if you've ever fished it. Some three-pounders in there.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, and it's been great talking to you, Jay. You've been very informational, and I'll try to be careful with those chanterelles, make sure I get the right ones, and I'll run them by you. And have a good summer, Jay. Thanks for being with us.
Good talking to you, Paul.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, guy. Yep, bye-bye. Okay, next week our guest is going to be Kristen Peet. She's chairman of the IFNW Advisory Council, and she'll be here to tell us all about that right here on Maine Outdoors.
And one last bit. I think it's August 1st, not August 15th, for the doe permit.
Oh, August 1st.
Yes, people should check that.
Okay, thank you.